How is everyone? I have a quick question before we begin. And that question is, how many of you are true Minnesotans and are really loving, think this winter has been heaven on earth? How many of you are true Minnesotans? Raise your hands. And how many of you are like me and everyone else that just wants this snow to be gone, to melt, for spring to come? There is good news, 50 degrees in the forecast for later this week and next weekend. Thank you, Tim and Anna, for having me here. My name is Tyler Mentz, and I am a Covenant pastor, and as Tim said, I currently direct Solid Rock Discipleship, which is at Lake Beauty Bible Camp. And this morning, we are going to be digging in to the parable of the sower, otherwise called the parable of the soils, in Matthew chapter 13, verses 1 through 23. And we are in a season of Lent, a season of preparing our hearts, and preparing our hearts through prayer, through self-denial, through coming closer to God, through aligning our schedules so that we can be together in God's community with one another, together in prayer, and really kind of align our hearts to what it means to be a follower of Christ. And as we look at the parable of the sower, I want to ask you two quick questions. The first is, as we look at this parable, Jesus talks about four different types of soil, four different types of soil in this parable. So the first question I want to ask you as we look in this parable is, what type of soil are you currently living in? What type of soil represents the state of your heart at this point in your life, in your walk with Jesus? And the second question I want to ask is, what is it in your life, what is it in your heart that is causing or creating a barrier between you and really allowing God, really allowing God to sow the seed of His Word, of His love, of His grace, of His forgiveness in your heart? So, first question, where is your heart at now? And the second question is, what might you need to throw away? What might you need to get rid of so that God's Word, God's love, God's grace, God's forgiveness can truly plant itself in your heart for the purpose of producing fruit, for the purposes of us together growing God's kingdom? So that's where we're going this morning. But before I pray and before we dig into God's Word, I just want to share a little bit about my day job. How many of you have heard of Lake Beauty Bible Camp or have been to Lake Beauty Bible Camp? Quite a few of you. That's awesome. So Solid Rock is a one-year discipleship program at Lake Beauty Bible Camp from August to May of each year. It is for young adults, and our mission is forming Christ-centered disciples and developing leaders. Emmeline, who is in the sound booth, was a student last year. Let's all look at Emmeline and say hi, because I know she loved that. So Emmeline was a student last year, and three quick things that I want to share about Solid Rock. The first is, it is 27 academic credits in Bible, theology, church history, spiritual formation, leadership formation. And we even have a money management class, which prepares our students to manage the money they currently don't have, but someday will have in a godly fashion. So 27 credits. It is academically intense. Solid Rock is not just a fun year at camp, which I always tell students. So be prepared to do studying and to do work at Solid Rock. The second thing I want to mention is next year, and this is a new opportunity for our students, we will begin the year with an 8-day leadership immersion journey into the Boundary Waters Canoe area. So students will come to Solid Rock and then go up to Adventurous Christians, which is a Covenant Pines ministry, and spend 8 days with staff with Adventurous Christians in the Boundary Waters, building community and building some leadership skills before we begin the year in the classroom. And then the final thing I'll say about Solid Rock is each January, the students get to spend 2 weeks in Israel. So not only are they learning about Solid Rock in the classroom, they also get to go and experience firsthand the sights of the Bible. And if you've ever been to Israel, you know that you never read the Bible the same after going. So Solid Rock is an amazing opportunity for your son or daughter, or for you after you've graduated from high school. The cost is $12,500. And this year, we're able to offer a $1,000 scholarship to every accepted student. So that brings that $12,500 down to $11,500. That includes the trips, tuition, fees, housing. It's basically all-inclusive. Our credits transfer to North Park University, which is our Evangelical Covenant Church denominational university, and a few other universities in the area. So if you have any questions, please come talk to me after. I also snuck a few storybook brochures on the welcome table. I didn't ask for permission. I just kind of did it. So please forgive me. And if you have any questions, look in this. Talk to me after. Would love to talk to you. And you can also visit our website, www.solidrockmn.org. And before I pray, I just want to say one thing about Covenant Pines. I know Anna has brought students up there. Covenant Pines is similar to Lake Beauty. Your church owns Covenant Pines, is one of the member churches of Covenant Pines. It is a really, really awesome, amazing camp. Dave Cairns is the executive director, Matt Braun, Natalie Swanson, the program director, a great staff. Send your kids to camp. It is an amazing opportunity, and I'm so thankful that this church helps support getting every kid to camp. So go to Covenant Pines, come to Solid Rock, and now let me pray. Father God, I thank you for this morning. I thank you for the reminder that we need ears to hear and eyes to see your wisdom and your glory. And may our hearts always be prepared to take in your word. I pray that your Holy Spirit is present and active in our hearts and minds this morning, allowing us to grow in the ways you want us to grow and learn in the ways that you want us to learn. May it be your words that are spoken through me this morning and not my own. I pray this in the powerful name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. And everyone at Bloomington Covenant said, amen. Okay. Again, those two questions. Where is your heart? And what might you need to throw away? What might you need to throw away? Let's dig into Matthew 13, verses 1 through 23. And it begins, "That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by a lake. Such large crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat in it, while all the people stood on the shore. Then he told them many things in parables, saying, 'A farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places, where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched, because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched, because they were withered, because they had no root. Other seed fell among the thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil, where it produced a crop, 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. Whoever has ears, let them hear.' So then, after saying this parable, the disciples come up and surround Jesus and ask him this question, 'Why do you speak to the people in parables?' And Jesus replied, 'Because the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven have been given to you, but not to them. Whoever has will be given more, and they will have in abundance. Whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken from them. This is why I speak to them in parables. Though seeing, they do not see. Though hearing, they do not hear or understand. In them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah: You will be ever hearing, but never understanding. You will be ever seeing, but never perceiving. For this people's heart has become calloused. They hardly hear with their ears, and they have closed their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, and turn, and I would heal them. But blessed are your eyes because they see, and your ears because they hear. For truly I tell you, many prophets and righteous people longed to see what you see, but did not see it, and to hear what you hear, and did not hear it. Listen then to what the parable of the sower means. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what is sown in their heart. This is the seed sown along the path. The seed falling on rocky ground refers to someone who hears the word and at once receives it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they fall quickly away. The seed falling among the thorns refers to someone who hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, making it unfruitful. But the seed falling on good soil refers to someone who hears the word and understands it. This is the one who produces a crop yielding 160 or 30 times what is sown. I want to pay close attention to verse 17. For truly I tell you, many prophets and righteous people longed to see what you see, but did not see it, and to hear what you hear, but did not hear it. And in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 10 through 12, the Apostle Peter, writing his letter, also says that the prophets spoke and searched with great care for the salvation that was ready to be revealed to us in the last time. And he also writes about that salvation, also writes about us experiencing the grace and forgiveness of God, that even angels long to look into these things, into that salvation. And I share that with you because sometimes, I've been a Christian a while, we sometimes forget in this season of Lent what we are preparing our hearts for and what we are living for. The prophets, angels, all long to see Jesus, the Messiah, Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us, Jesus, our King. We, as Christians, have that opportunity through the power of the Holy Spirit to be born again into that living hope. That is a gift. That is a gift of forgiveness. That is a gift of God's grace. That is a gift that we too often take for granted. We live our lives like the rest of the world, not realizing that because of Christ, we have eternal life. Because of Christ, our sins are forgiven. Because of Christ, we have the opportunity to work together with Him to produce crop and build His kingdom. So as we look at the states of our heart, let us never forget who Christ was. And as we prepare for Easter Sunday, as we prepare for the resurrection of Christ, let us never forget what a monumental moment that is. Now I want to go through those four different soils. And the first soil that Jesus talks about to his disciples is the soil that lands on the path and the birds eat it up. And this represents people who hear the word but do not understand it. And the evil one, the devil, just snatches it away. And these are people that are not truly listening, that don't truly understand, or are just living life unaware of the gospel, unaware of who Jesus is, and unaware that they need the knowledge of God's word. C.S. Lewis has this great quote that we are half-hearted creatures fooling about with drink and sex and ambition, when infinite joy is offered to us through Christ. We are fooling around with drink, sex, and ambition when infinite joy is offered to us. The seed on the path is people that don't necessarily know they need Jesus or are too consumed with the joys of the world, too consumed with their own lives, that they don't know the greater gift that is offered to them in Christ. The second soil is the rocky places, the shallow soil, the sun-scorched plant, people who at first receive the word with joy but do not invest in their faith. And thus, when trials and tribulations come, they fall away because there is no root. This is a God that is made in our own image instead of us being people made in God's image. These are people that love God and enjoy God and want to follow Christ when it follows their own way and own view of how their life should be lived. These are people that pray to God in the good times and curse God in the bad times. They only believe in God when they are happy. They only believe in God when life is going well for them. The third soil is the thorns, the choke plants, the worries of the world and deceitfulness of wealth. So the seed is planted, but the worries and distractions of the world come and choke those seeds. Our hearts become hardened. Do we follow the true gospel? Or do we follow the gospel only when it fits with American consumerism? Do we follow the true gospel? Or do we follow the gospel only when it fits with American consumerism? And by that I mean, are we following God with how we spend our money? Are we following God with how we use our resources? And are we getting joy from God's word? Are we getting joy from God's grace and forgiveness, which is offered to all people? Or are we just getting joy from the world and then attributing that to God rather than getting joy from God in and of God's self? And the final soil is the good soil, which produces crop, multiplication, hears and understands the word. We all want to be in the good soil. We all want to be people who receive God's word, who love God and follow Him with our whole heart and our whole mind and our whole body and our whole soul. But what stops us from doing that? What stops us from doing that? And maybe the most important part about having a heart that receives God's word is that heart that receives God's word produces crop. Meaning, we have the courage. Meaning, we spend the time sharing God's love with other people, serving other people, building God's kingdom, and bringing in people into our lives whose hearts are hardened to the good news of the gospel for whatever reason. We are not just saved. We do not just receive God's word into our lives for ourselves alone. We receive God's word. It's sown into our hearts so that we can proclaim the glory of God to all people. And if God's kingdom looks just like you, if the people you are producing in God's kingdom are exactly like you, we're not doing it right. God sows the word of God into our hearts so that we can invite all people into the community of believers. But it's hard. And I don't know where your heart is at, and I don't know where which soil you kind of think you are. But in my life, I have been all of these soils. And Jesus uses the phrase, ears to hear and eyes to see a lot. And I will explain this statement in a second. But it wasn't until I gave up my ears, lost my ears, threw away my ears, until I truly had ears to hear. I was born 33 years ago with a condition known as Golden Heart Syndrome. Born without ears, I've had 33 surgeries in my life. I have a hole in my heart. And my ears became an idol. My ears hardened my heart because I had prosthetic ears. And those ears became symbolic for me. Those ears became what I worshiped. Because instead of getting joy from God's word, instead of getting joy from the forgiveness of God, instead of getting joy from the grace of God, I wanted to get joy. I wanted to get peace. I wanted to get happiness. I wanted to live my life for the world. And I thought that by looking like other people, that my heart would be softened. And it wasn't. So I brought some ears with me this morning. Here's a little baby ear. And here is an adult ear. And in college, God finally brought me to a point of brokenness. To a point of understanding that when he says you need ears to hear, he's actually talking about listening. He's not talking about actual ears. He's talking about listening to his word. He's talking about listening to what he says you are worth. That you are a child of God, made in the image of God, regardless of who you are. And it wasn't until I finally understood that I did have ears to hear, real ears to hear in my heart, that I could throw away the prosthetic ears, the fake ears. Because I was living life on the fake assumption that I could hear God without truly listening. I was living life on the fake assumption that the things of the world could satisfy me. That's what hardened the soil in my heart. Is I wanted the happiness and joys of the world without the sacrifice of following Christ. Following Christ takes sacrifice. It takes repentance. It takes understanding that this life is not about us. It's about God. It takes understanding that when the Holy Spirit comes into our heart, it's not about making us feel good. It's about proclaiming God's glory. That is why good soil produces fruit. We don't care about ourselves. We care about other people. A really great quote from a commentator says this: gospel change is the Spirit of God using the story of God to make the beauty of God come alive in our hearts. Let me read that again. Gospel change is the Spirit of God using the story of God to make the beauty of God come alive in our hearts. Having our eyes open to see our part in that story creates in us a love of God that is strong enough to finally drive out our attraction to other idols. The gospel cures us of fear, dissatisfaction, and pride. My friends, what do you need to throw away? What do you need to get rid of? What do you need to spend less attention on? So that your hearts may be softened. So that the word of God may be sown more deeply into the soil of your heart. So that the word of God may be proclaimed. And the kingdom of God may be grown. And Bloomington Covenant may become a garden where crop is produced to God's glory. What is it that you need to throw away? Let me pray. Father God, I thank you for the constant reminder that you love us. I thank you for the constant reminder that you fill us with your grace. And that through the power of the Holy Spirit, we have an opportunity to produce crop for you and to produce fruit for you. Lord, I pray that through your forgiveness and through our turning towards you, that you would soften our hearts so that we would love and trust in you alone. Lord, take away any distractions in our lives that cause us to not think about you or to turn away from you. Lord, may our joy and our peace and our happiness come from you alone. May we always, always seek to be closer to you, never forgetting the gift and the marvelous gift that is the death and resurrection of our Savior. So that in Him we have eternal life, that we have hope, that we have joy, that we have peace that surpasses all understanding. Let us live in that peace. And let us hope in Christ above all other things. And Lord, may our hearts always be cultivated and always be ready to receive your word and your spirit, so that your kingdom may grow and that you may be glorified. I pray this in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.